radio station here, and we say what we feel like saying.
Greetings, pod people. Charlie Cooper here of the Radio First Term Iraq Show. Do not adjust your rabbit ears. The rabbit zone you're about to enter is brought to you in high definition, Dave Rabbit Audio.
Let's Okay, guys, welcome to tonight's Rabbit Zone Show. Tonight I am very privileged to have a guy that I've been dying to interview since day one almost on my Podomatic life, and that is Phil Houston. And Phil is the creator, magnificent, if you will, of the Funky House London Style Show on Podomatic, and also he has a site on MySpace, and I mean, it's been the number one show since day one that I can remember. I can't remember a time that it wasn't number one in fans and number one of being the most popular show in the entire Podomatic community. Hey, Phil, thanks for your time. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
Good, Dave. Good. And I appreciate the time because I know the time difference and stuff is kind of late night there in London, unlike Dallas.
Yeah, but so, 10 o'clock, I was just about to settle into bed, actually. But
well, I won't hold you too long. Okay,
then
Phil,
get
listen.
A cup of tea and
knock back a cup of tea, and, you know, then we can kind of have a conversation here just for a short while.
Cool.
You know, I tell you what I'm dying to ask you, Phil, because, I mean, unlike artists that I've interviewed where they're basically creating music, you know, Funky House London, I mean, you basically just take artists and you mix them together in a creative style that is all your own personality. Is that pretty much how the Funky House and the trance music scenarios actually started?
No, not entirely. I've been interested in club music for quite some time. A bit of a clubber myself, and spent many hours dancing on dance floors in London. And it's just really an extension of that. There's London's got a very vibrant, funky house music scene, and it's starting to move now into more electro, funky house, and the sound changes roughly every year. So it's kind of always an evolving music, and I just really got interested in it that way. I met a very interesting DJ, very talented DJ in London called Steve Pitron, and he really is so passionate about music, it kind of got contagious, and I picked it up from there. So
did you actually do any DJing at all at any of these clubs and stuff?
Nope, not at all. My first DJing I did on the computer using a program called Virtual DJ, mixing MP3s together, and that's how I created the first podcast episode.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was trying to remember the first time. Now, I'm 58, and I know you're much younger than me. But I was trying to remember the first time I ever heard in a club a DJ that was at a club mixing things to where the songs kind of blended together. And it seems to me, and I could be wrong, and maybe you have a more distinct answer because I'm sure you've done some research on the thing, but it seems to me that the disco age was, and I'm talking about the 70s now, was the first time in a club that I ever heard songs to where instead of when the song ended, you know, it didn't go right into another song. Did you ever do any history on the thing to find out, you know, how far back mixing really started?
Yeah, I mean, the mixing style back then was just called fading. You just kind of faded one track out, and as you almost got down to zero volume, you faded the next one in. So sort of as, but obviously music nowadays, is, you know, the beats and everything else are very, very similar, and house music certainly follows. It's a very mathematical pattern to house music. Well, a lot of genres of music are like that now. And so mixing suddenly becomes much, much easier. There's definitely a pattern to that style of music and that clubbing music and, the way that music is produced, the opening part of the music is very easy to mix into the end part of a track you're just, sort of mixing out of. So That genre of music really, really lends itself to that style of DJing, that style of mixing music.
For someone that doesn't know a lot about this particular style of music, which I can't believe anybody doesn't know about it, at least anybody that's listened to Podomatic's website, because, as I said in the intro, you know, your show is the number one in fans and also has been the top-rated podcast since I've been there, and I've been there since July. When did you join Podomatic? Do you remember, Phil?
Yeah, it was about the summer 2006, I think. Yeah.
In fact, I think you and I joined pretty much about the same time, because as far back as I can remember, you know, Funky House London's logo has always been an integral part of the homepage, because for those that's never been to Podomatic, there's a homepage and it shows the top rated podcast. And I mean, I've always seen your famous green logo. I know you've changed it to the headphones, but your famous green logo has always graced the homepage. So all right, now here's the question, Phil. What is the difference between funky house and trance?
Oh, it's completely different. Funky house.
Okay. Well, all right, please tell me, because I was, you know, I mean, I OD'd on your homepage on Podomatic and listened to every single thing. And I normally listen to maybe once a month, you know. I mean, and sometimes if it late at night, I'll click onto your site and I'll listen to some things. But this is the first time that I really went deep in depth, because I knew we were going to talk about it. So, I mean, I listen to trance, and I've listened to funky house, and it seems to me that funky house is more lyrical, has some things that have some lyrics to it, where trance seems to be more strictly instrumental. Now, would you mind telling everybody exactly what the difference is?
Well, that you've hit the nail exactly on the head. Trance is it's very trance-like in its style. It's, you know, there's not a huge amount of vocals in it, whereas funky house tends to get its style of music from lots of other genres through the ages. Disco is a huge influence on funky house, and you tend to find that now, certainly you see a lot of what we call crossover tracks that come from the pop and disco era,
right,
get remixed with a harder, tougher beat. And now, of course, we're moving into, as I mentioned earlier, a genre called, you know, electro house, which has a much more electronic sound to it, but still that sort of house driving bass line sound and piano hooks and vocals and guitars and everything else. So it tends to be much more musically orientated. Trance is very sort of hard and tough, the same beat, very kind of rhythmic, but not very vocal.
We'll be right back. Now, do you control the basic pumping beat? Because I noticed in almost every particular groups of things, like you have a summer collection, a winter collection, and you've got some after hours. I love the after hours, by the way. And I can't remember the name of the band, but there's some band that's there. It drives me nuts because the music is one particular beat, and then all of a sudden it comes up with this beat that's just completely out in left field somewhere. And when I first heard it, I thought, you know, God, this is really a strange song. And the more that I kept playing that particular segment, the more I really got into it. So, I mean, you know, there's a beat that's going bump, 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 bump. And, I mean, it seemed like the beat, when you're doing a mix, is always consistent. And then everything kind of fades into it, but it seems to have that same beat. Do you actually control, you know, how fast or slow the things are so that the beats line up?
Well, yeah, I mean, when you're mixing music, the trick is to get the beats, for what we call beat matching. So, you know, when you're mixing two tracks together, you'll have one track playing on one deck, and you bring the pitch of the second track so that the beats are exactly laying over the top of one another. And that's just, that's the technical element of mixing music, because I believe there's two sort of elements to when you're mixing two tracks together. One is the technical element, and actually the technical ability to get two tracks to overlay over the top so that it sounds good. And the second element is really the artistic element, where, you know, you are mixing it at the right time, in the right place, knowing the tracks to such an extent that you can get the vocals to overlay, or when the vocals of one sentence finishes, the vocals of the next track you're bringing in start. So, you know, it's a very artistic kind of element to that part of mixing music. So there's two things. And I think, you know, when you're learning to DJ, you know, you concentrate first of all on the technical element, because you need to be able to get two tracks to overlay correctly. But then from then on, you know, you can then, once you've got that and it, something clicks in your head all of a sudden, and the first time you mix two tracks together, it's like, it's such an amazing feeling. You think, oh, wow, I really, you know, I can really do this now. And then, you know, you kind of then concentrate on the artistic side and how and where you mix two tracks together, and that gives you your unique kind of sound to the way that you mix music.
Let's change horses for a second. Question, how old are you?
I'm 29 in about 2 weeks' time.
Okay, 29 in about 2 weeks. Okay, so let me ask you, you obviously, you're from London right now, but were you born in London?
No, I wasn't. I was born in North Yorkshire, and I then moved to Cambridge and lived in Cambridge in the UK for 4 years. And I moved to London about 3.5 years ago.
How do the English people, the vibe on the English people, what's the vibe pretty much about the Iraq situation? I know, you know, of course, like in the United States, you know, people are kind of upset and they want it to be over and whatever. But I, you know, just things I've said are not said, but seen or read. You know, the English people are really not real keen on having the British soldiers at risk. Is that pretty much the nail on the head on that?
No, I don't think any nation that's currently involved in Iraq and Afghanistan and all the other war zones of the world really want our soldiers to be there. I think, you know, in a perfect world, nobody would want to have to go into that situation. I think there's kind of two camps. There's the anti-war kind of, you know, camp that that really, you know, did not want to follow Bush into this war and did not want to follow America. But there's the other side that said, well, actually, you know, we kind of needed to. And is the world a better place without Saddam? You know, maybe it is. The situation there's not good at the moment. And, you know, our men are dying and lots of people are dying every single day. But, you know, the Iraqi people have a chance to be free that they didn't have before. So, you know, I think that I'm actually falling into that second group. I actually feel that, you know, yeah, that the world is probably a better place without Saddam Hussein. It's not a nice situation that we found ourselves in. Nobody said this was going to be easy.
music. Were you ever in a band when you grew up?
No, I wasn't, actually. I learned a musical instrument. My mother taught me to play piano, and I learned electric keyboard as well, which was a lot easier than playing the piano. I tried to learn guitar, but I gave up. I just didn't have the patience, I guess. I think that helped me when I came to DJing, because it gave me a good understanding of music and musical patterns and the way music is constructed. And I think without that, it's a much more difficult skill to pick up. So
that would lend me to another question, and that is, you know, obviously when you're a DJing, I mean, you have to have some kind of rhythm in your brain, I mean, to know, you know, how you're mixing things and what you're going to do. So
definitely.
Obviously that musical training actually had to have been a benefit to you, I would say, right?
Absolutely, definitely. I mean, knowing when to mix a track in, it's a case of counting the beats, but not only counting the beats, but being able to recognize the beginning of a musical phrase and knowing when to start that next track in and then bring the fader across is, you know, it's all about, you know, knowing the music and knowing the patterns of the music and, you know, knowing that there's, you know, 8 bars in a pattern and how many patterns in a phrase, etc., of a particular piece of music. And then obviously a producer will throw in little kinks and tricks in tracks to throw you off the scent, but you know, once you learn the track, that gets easier. So
Have you ever met any of the artists themselves that do these songs?
Yeah, actually, Therese, who sang quite a few big club hits, Put 'Em High, Take Me Away. There's quite a few tracks of hers. She's a good friend of ours, and I see her regularly. So, hi there, Therese, if you're listening.
Yes, and I'm sure she will be listening, and hopefully, and that was another thing I was going to ask you, Phil. You know, I am very interested, especially for my military fan base around the world, to interview a group or groups, if there's more than one that you can think of or that you're friends with, for one of the Rabbit Zone shows. I mean, it's a thrill to actually talk to you and interview you. But I would really like to get into the brain and the mind of the people that create Funky House and Trance. I mean, it's just and being a rocker, it's a completely different thing for me. I mean, when I first got exposed to your show, I liked it because of that. It's just got a driving beat to it. I mean, much like, hard rock and rock and roll of the 60s, I mean, there was a driving beat to it that just kind of draws you to the music. It's just completely different than anything that I had ever been exposed to. And fortunately, Funky House taught me all kinds of different things that I really didn't really explore or didn't want to explore at the time or didn't think I wanted to explore. And I would really love if you have any connections if you would pass my name on to them or my email address, which you have, and, have them contact me, because I would love to get into the brains of some of the artists that create this absolutely fantastic music that people can listen on Funky House London Style. And I assume that Funky House London Style, there's a difference between London Style and, for instance, the U.S. style, right? What is that? What's that difference, Phil?
Yeah, very, very different. I mean, some of the top sort of U.S. DJs that I could mention are Victor Calderon, Manny Lehman. There's a number of big DJs and producers over in the US who have a very distinctive style, and it's more progressive. The sound is a very progressive sound, where the beat is very, very linear throughout the entire kind of track or the set. There's very little variation, but and it's much more driving than the kind of funky sort of sound that tends to dominate Europe. Sort of European influences, like the Italian kind of funky sound and the Spanish kind of Balearic sound kind of come into a lot of tracks that you hear if you go clubbing in London and win the stage. Although that music is making inroads, it's not as prevalent. The US does tend to be a much more harder sound. That's not entirely true. I mean, the Miami Winter Conference was on recently, and a lot of the tracks that have come out of the Miami Winter Conference recently of a very European in influence, you know, is really sort of picking up in the States too. So, you know, the sound is very prevalent over there, but it tends to be much more progressive.
Now, that's an interesting point. Now, so because of your experience with this particular genre of music, you could probably hear a mix or something, and you could tell immediately if it was from a United States producer or from a France producer or Germany or wherever, because each kind of has its own personality. Is that kind of what you're saying?
It is very much like that. You know, I can certainly tell when I hear a track that if it's a Victor Calderon or a Peter Rauhofer track, which are a very distinctive American sounds.
Wow.
You know, and then there's some of the DJs and producers you find over in Europe, Martin Solvig, Dimitri from Paris. You know, there's a number that although not quite as distinctive and are sometimes a little bit difficult to place, you can kind of at least place the region where the track is kind of from, because that kind of sound is very distinctive. Yeah.
Well, before I let you go, I want to tell everybody that Phil has two websites. One of them is www.myspace.com/funkylondon. It's FUNKYLONDON. And, of course, on our homepage at Podomatic, where both Phil and I are, is www.funkylondon.podomatic.com. And if you ever have an urge to hear what I consider to be, and obviously what literally hundreds of thousands of fans worldwide consider to be, some of the absolute best music that can be found at Funky House London Style, you need to go check out Phil and his website, and Phil at Podomatic also, and listen to some of the absolute greatest sounds that I have ever heard. It blows me away, and take it from this old rocker, you're going to have a great time. And if you come across this one song that's really kind of weird, that's got like, you know, two different kind of beats going on, you'll know exactly when you hear it. But that's going to be, I'm going to try to somehow incorporate that somewhere down the way, because that song drives me nuts. It's kind of those songs, Phil, have you ever had those songs that just stick in your brain and you try to go to sleep and you can't go to sleep because that stupid song keeps pounding in your brain? Have you ever had that happen?
All the time. whenever I go out and DJ friends of mine play a brand new track that they've managed to get hold on promo, and I'm like, it whizzes through my head all night until I manage to get hold of a copy myself. So, yeah, all the time. And
well,
I have
listen,
to go
Phil,
and find out what the track name is before I leave the club. Yeah. What is that track? Who's produced it? Who sang it? When was it recorded? When was it released? I need to know.
Oh, yeah. and I'm right there with you, because I'm going to have to go back after we get through this interview and I do the post-production before I put it up on the sites and stuff.
Well, you're going to have to let me back. Know in which mix that is and how many minutes into the mix, so I can go and
I'm going to do that, and I'm going to email you privately once I find it, because I think it's in the summer mix. I think it's in that 2006 summer mix.
Yeah.
But it's just driving me nuts. And last night, because I was really anticipating, you know, our interview for tonight, I started playing stuff, listening to it, and I was kind of doing some editing and stuff, pre-production stuff for your show. And that song came up again. Oh, God, I love this song. I just absolutely love this song. But I am going to do that, and I will email you.
Definitely.
So I want you to hold on just a second, Phil, because I want to talk to you off air before we say goodnight. I want to remind everybody that you've been listening to the Funky House London Style Rabbit Zone show, and the music that you've been listening to throughout the interview are clips from some of the mixes by the creator of Phil Hewson from London. And his website again is www.myspace.com/funkylondon and www.funkylondon.podomatic.com. And I want to remind everybody again that you don't have to support a war to support the troops. Peace, everybody.
You've just experienced Dave Rabbit and the Rabbit Zone. For more fun, audio, and video, visit Dave's official podcast home at www.daverabbit.podomatic.com. Until next time, this is Charlie Cooper, and like the man says, peace.